The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Welcome along to the brand new inaugural edition of The Punt Podcast here with William Hill. This is your one-stop shop for all your football betting needs. Community Shield coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that in due course. But first of all, an introduction. My name is Dave Kellner, self-proclaimed betting expert. I'll be hosting the podcast each and every week. We'll have the popular Scouser, Derek McGovern, the godfather of sports betting, giving his in-depth analysis. Andy Excel is a new addition to the Punt Podcast. He is William Hill's in-play football trading manager. He'll give you the correct steer as far as the betting is concerned. A Football Writers Association guest will appear on the podcast every week. This week it's Martin Lipton from The Sun, and we'll speak to Martin very shortly about the big stories in the world of football. We've got Sam Norris and or Alex Dunn on the European football, those two interchangeable. We'll hear from them shortly. Pete Farries is our man on the Championship. We've got InPlay Radio's Gav Pushlowski giving his thoughts on League One. And Al Ross, story time with Al Ross. He will be giving his verdict on League Two each and every week. That's all to come on William Hill's Punt Podcast. And first up this week, it's Martin Lipton from The Sun and the godfather of sports betting, Derek McGovern, to talk about the big stories of the week. So it's a warm welcome, first of all, to the Sun's Martin Lipton, who joins us on the Punt Podcast. Good morning to you, Martin.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well. Looking forward to the season. It begins almost now, just a week or so for the big kickoff, but the sort of curtain raiser is upon us, so that should be good.
And Derek McGovern on the line as well. Derek, it's been a long time since I've spoken to you, and it's been you've been a big miss.
I'm sure I have, yes. I'm sure there's people been beating down your door asking for my return.
And are you two allowed to speak to each other as well, Derek? Because you're obviously the mirror. Martin's the Sun.
Yeah, we were colleagues for a long time.
Yes, Martin used to have a bit of sense, but he obviously lost it when it decamped.
The big talking point in the week has been regarding Neymar, his move from Barcelona to Paris Saint-Germain, Martin. Just the £200 million. For years, people have been saying, the bubble will burst. We can't keep these inflated transfer prices going. If anything, it's getting worse.
Well, the clubs have got more money. The Premier League clubs have got this enormous reservoir of cash to spend. And there are certain clubs that are, as been pointed out, bankrolled by a nation state. And one of those is in the Premier League in terms of Manchester City, who have the resources of Abu Dhabi at their command. And PSG are the sort of sporting arm of Qatar. And it's as simple as that. They've got huge sum. They wanted to make a huge signing. They've gone and done that. I think it shakes the hell out of the established order. Barcelona's interesting line, wasn't there, from the president of the Spanish league this morning, which was, if it had been Manchester United who were buying Neymar, we wouldn't have complained about it. It's because it's a club state that's bought it. Well, hang on, I think there's a little bit of nonsense there. You know, they didn't moan about Spanish clubs taking the best of the world's talent because they had the money to do it. Is it bonkers? Yes. Is it value for money? No. Is it going to continue? Yeah, it is.
Derek, £200 million for Neymar. Premier League clubs have been spending as well. I suppose the older generation will be thinking, oh, well, I wish we'd got a slice of this pie.
Well, yeah. John Barnes, for instance, remember the stick he got when he was the first footballer in Britain to be on 10 grand a week? Well, I mean, Neymar only has to work an hour now to pick up that. I mean, that's how ridiculous it's got. I had a carefully crafted argument just before we come on air of why the bubble will inevitably burst. And then something occurred to me just before we came on air, which wrecked it. And I don't know how I'm going to salvage anything from the wreckage. I mean, I was going to say that you know, it's great in the Premier League because, you know, they've got all the money now. And the reason the Premier League is so great is that the fans make it. The sound and the fury at games, that's what makes it. And that's what people want abroad. They want that. It's the fans make the Premier League, not so much the players. Now, the gentrification of football, it's changing that, isn't it? You know, fans like you and I are being priced out of it. It's all tourists, people who think going to the matches go like going to the opera. And once that starts taking hold, where will the atmosphere come from? All of a sudden, you'll see that, you know, broadcast companies abroad might not want the Premier League so much. And then, you know, they won't be paying, like, however it is, £8 billion, whatever it is, for TV rights. So that was the argument I was going to give. But then it occurred to me that this Neymar transfer has got nothing to do with British clubs whatsoever. This is between Barcelona and PSG. So I don't know which way to think now. What Martha says is right. When you're getting clubs backed by nation states, I mean, you know, there's a 200 million or 500 million, half a billion, as they're saying. It's like it's money they'd find down the back of the couch. It's nothing to them. It's when you're paying, like, I actually think, you know, if you're paying £200 million for Neymar, you can argue that's value for money when you're paying £50 million for Nemanja Matic. You know, £50 million, there should be a cap on holding midfielders' prices. I'm going to buy £11.99. £50 million for Nemanja Matic doing a job that I could do. Martin, probably, maybe not Martin. You, Dave. I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So that's where I think it can't last. But for the superstar players, the Neymars, the Messis, well, he won't be going anywhere. I don't mind money being spent on them. It's just for the ragamuffin lot. It does my head in when I'm thinking they're picking up king's ransoms for being ordinary.
Martin, this is a running theme on the podcast, by the way. Derek has no respect for that combative midfielder, that extra defender, the man that sits in front of the back four protecting them from danger. Derek thinks that's a position that shouldn't exist, Martin.
Well, come on, this club had Lucas Leiva playing there for a while, so that probably explains it all.
Well, that's good. I mean, Liverpool got £5 million for Lucas Leiva. How much? £5 million? Jesus Christ.
Jose Mourinho's issued intimated that there's a warning that there's going to be inflated prices for average players in the future.
Well, he should know, shouldn't he?
Yeah, well, this is a man that spent £27 million on Sean Wright Phillips about 12 years ago.
This is a man who turned Paul Pogba into Paul Parker.
I do like the way that the managers moan about other people spending when they spent shed loads themselves. The hypocrisy that abounds in football is truly joyous to behold in its way. For Mourinho to moan about other people spending money, given he used to complain when people spoke about Chelsea spending money when he was a manager, as he did at Real Madrid and Inter Milan. Utter nonsense and bilge, particularly given the amount he's wasted on players. If he doesn't win the league, I mean, rebuilt the team in his own image, which is basically 6'3" and as broad as a battleship, each and every one of them, and spending, I don't know, upwards of £300 million in total, he's got no excuse at all, has he?
No, as far as the top six are concerned, then, the transfer window doesn't close for a few weeks yet, Martin, but who are the winners and losers in the transfer market? As far as that top six are concerned, the real genuine title contenders?
Well, look, City have clearly improved. We knew he wanted to get rid of all four fullbacks and get a better goalkeeper in. He's done all of that. He's only brought in three fullbacks, which means they're a little bit light if they get an injury at fullback, I think. The goalkeeper clearly can hit a bottle top from 80 yards, so watch out for them playing some long ball stuff and goal kicks. They've still got a great attacking player, but they still, I think, have a gaping void in the middle of the park. They've got three centre-halves, one of whom is never fit in company, another one who at the moment seems an accident waiting to happen in John Stones, and the third is Nicolas Otamendi, and I need to say no more. So they have still got vulnerabilities there. Arsenal, Lacazette should improve them when he loses a little bit of timber. They're still, I think, going to lose Sanchez by the time the window shuts. Probably their best signing is going to be the left-back, who looks really talented, and he gives them an improvement on that flank. Look at the others. United just gone for bulk in every sense, but they should be better for it. Liverpool, still short in numbers for me, I have to be honest. I think they need a few more, particularly as they struggled last year without playing Champions League. I think the intensity of Klopp's training regime and routine does cause injuries, and they haven't got the squad numbers to cope with that. Chelsea are either going to be great this year or going back into a 2 years ago meltdown. There's no middle ground with them, I suspect. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see. There's clearly issues and strains and stresses behind the scenes there, and he's not entirely happy with what he's got. And you could argue that Spurs, while they've done nothing, have done as well as anyone, because the one player they've lost is the player they were willing to lose in Walker, and they've kept everybody else. And that the line from Spurs always was, Walker goes, no one else does, and they've stuck to it. But they now need to add two or three in by the window shutting. They're squad players, their argument is, it's a legitimate one. Who can we get for the sort of money we're willing to pay and the sort of wages we're willing to pay, who's better than what we've got? And they've looked around Europe and said, there ain't anyone.
Who do you fancy for the title, Martin?
I think, having guaranteed last season the title would end up in Manchester and they were third and sixth, but clearly the title's going to end up in Manchester. I think it will be between City and United. I think Mourinho's mystique is all about he always wins in the second season.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't win the title in his second season, the whole Mourinho thing starts to fall apart even more swiftly than one could say it has in the last few years. He has to win. Likewise, Guardiola, for this money he spent, has to win. No excuses for either of those. Everybody else has got excuses now.
So which one? United or City?
Oh, I know Xavier's going to love this. I think United.
Oh, 100-30, Manchester United. You mentioned Lacazette needs to lose a bit of timber. Perfect opportunity to bring in Derek McGovern now for his...
He hasn't need to lose any. He's in great shape.
I don't like that, Lynn.
For his verdict on the winners and losers in the transfer market, who's done the best business and who's done the worst so far? Top six, Derek.
Well, you ask about winners and losers. Well, you can't bring Tottenham in. They haven't even placed the best.
No, they've not, have they? I
can't believe it. I mean, why are they going to win the league, Tottenham, when they haven't improved from last season and they're playing on neutral ground?
Because they got 86 points last year, I guess.
Well, yeah, but they're on neutral ground this season. They're at Wembley. They need to go all trembly. It's like they don't have a home match this season. They can't possibly win the league, Tottenham. Great couple of seasons they've had, but they're going to fall short. Rule them out right away. Rule Arsenal out right away because, the signing of Lacazette, Sanchez is going to go. Is Lacazette an improvement on Sanchez? No, he isn't. Man United, well, I can't believe Man United are 100-30 to win the title. It's the worst price I've ever seen. Most ridiculous price than whatever they pay for Lukaku. I mean, they put 24 points behind Chelsea last season. They signed Romelu Lukaku, a poor man's Christian Benteke, and Nemanja Matic, who looks like a poor man's Michael Keaton and plays like a poor man's Michael Carrick. I don't understand that. How are they shorter in the bet than Chelsea, who finished 24 points above them? We mentioned Mourinho turning Paul Pogba into Paul Parker for the season. How would you get an 89 million player like Pogba? It was unbelievable. He looked like a selling plater for most of last season. So I know I don't think Man United have got a prayer. City, well, they spent more on their defence than North Korea. £50 million for Walker. God knows how much it was for Mendy. He's addressed their problems and defence. I love Pep Guardiola's style, the way he plays football, the way he wants football to be played. But I think he's the problem for City. As I watched him last season, the way he wants to play the ball out from the back, it's great. It's great when you want to do it. But when it goes wrong, they look like a car crash. Teams just play high against them, and they always look like conceding the goal. It might be different now they've got the two new fullbacks. But I wouldn't want to be backing them at that kind of price, on trust. I think they've got a lot of improving to do at the back. Who else is left? Liverpool, yeah, they're going to win the league, obviously. and there's another team I'm missing, isn't there? Who's the other team?
Chelsea, yeah.
Well, my worry for Chelsea is that they've got the Champions League this season. That's a problem for them, obviously. The bigger worry is Eden Hazard. A, he's injured, misses the start of the season. B, there's noises coming out that Barcelona want him. And I think Chelsea, without Eden Hazard, at best, top six. That's how important he is to them. So, it's not going to take much to win the league this season. It really isn't. And I think Liverpool have got it in them.
Oh, come on, Derek.
Yeah, I do. I really fancy them big time. Did you see them against
Bayern? He says this every year, Martin. Every single season podcast.
I actually would like that argument about... did you see him against Bayern? If I hadn't seen Bayern against everybody else in pre-season,
yeah, I know.
And
they've been
spanked
by everyone apart from Chelsea, which is quite entertaining.
Yeah.
12-1 they are, Liverpool, to win the title. We talked through the teams that are in contention for the title. Do you think there's a surprise package this season, whether there's a team going to, Martin, outperform expectations, a team that you think they're definitely going to get relegated, but you can see something in them that suggests they might finish higher in the division than the odds suggests, I suppose?
Well, I can't see anyone breaking the top six, even Everton, unless someone has an absolute car crash. Although I think Everton may get closer. They were still an awful long way away last year. And likewise, I can't see anyone then getting into the top seven from who's different. So it's at the other end you'd look for value. What would be the price of all three staying up, all three promoted sides staying up? I think that Newcastle will stay up. I think Brighton will stay up. Maybe if Wagner can get Huddersfield going, that could be the shock and get a price on the three of those all staying up.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I will ask the trader, Andy Excel, who's coming onto the podcast next, about the three that came up last season all to stay in the Premier League, because that would be a real rarity for that to happen, Derek.
Yeah, it would. I'm just looking back at the records now, the last time it happened. I think it's happened once in the last 20 seasons. I might be wrong there. This is just on memory. But it hasn't happened in
it's rare, definitely.
Sorry, Martin?
I said it's rare, definitely.
Yeah,
so
it is.
You might get a decent price on that as well. And, you know, there's enough rubbish down the bottom, let's be honest. As we saw last season, Watfords and Stokes and teams of that, you know, the ones who scramble around, Bournemouth are going to struggle still to get out of the top, of the bottom six, rather. That if it is not inconceivable that all three could start. I think the weak one would be Huddersfield, because no one quite knows what he's got there. But one thing you do know is there's going to be an effervescence and bubble about them. They're going to play that high-intensity pressing game and try to, they are sort of clock scored by Wagner, aren't they? And that might cause issues in four teams.
I will make sure by the time this podcast goes out, there's a price on the William Hill website for all three teams to stay up that have been promoted from the Championship.
It happened in 2012. QPR, Norwich and Swansea all stayed up. Norwich 12, Swansea 11 and QPR 17. So more recently than I thought, actually.
Do you see a surprise package, Derek, this season?
Not to break into the top six, no. And I can't understand all this money for Everton. I mean, I'm looking at the signings they've made. I mean, they've lost Romelu Lukaku. Man United have been heavily backed because they've signed Romelu Lukaku. Everton have been heavily backed because they've lost Romelu Lukaku. Something's not quite right there. You know, the signings Everton have made, David Klaassen. Nobody knows how good he is. He could be rubbish. They signed a Burnley centre-half. Wowee. I mean, and two guys are sending out on loan immediately. You know, they might get Gylfi Sigurdsson. That remains to be seen. But no, these signings from Everton don't impress me whatsoever. I cannot understand all the talk. Well, most of it's coming from Everton fans, so I suppose you can understand it.
Thank you, Derek. And Martin, thank you for your company on the podcast.
No trouble. Take care.
Derek, you're going to stay with us for a chat with Andy Excel coming up in a few moments' time. Thank you to Martin, and we'll be back in a few moments with some betting ahead of the new season, and we'll take a look at the Community Shield as well.
What have Man City, Joe Root, Rory McIlroy, Andy Murray and Q-Card all got in common? They can all be combined with William Hill's new Acca Insurance, Acca 5. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. Acca 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
I'm delighted now to welcome, for the first time onto the Punt podcast, one of the money men here. With William Hill, it's good to have Andy Excel, William Hill's in-player football trading manager, with us for the season on the Punt podcast. First of all, good morning to you, Andy.
Morning.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
You obviously deal with all the volume of bets that come into William Hill, and hashtag your odds has taken off tremendously. I was just looking on the William Hill website a few moments ago. For the Premier League, the start of the new season, hashtag your odds, there must be 100 bets that punters have tweeted into you, and you've managed to price them up.
Oh, yeah, it's manic up there all day at the moment. We're scrambling around trying to fit them all in, but we'll get there.
Derek's one of the men that is charged to beating you, basically, each and every week. It didn't quite materialise that way last season, Derek.
It was a disaster, a car crash of a season. You describe Andy as a money man. He's probably McGovern's money man. He's probably got all my dough. I've got visions of him looking at my betting account with Hills and having a good guffaw. that's how bad I was last season. It was a shocker. Actually, Andy, there's a question that's been on my mind for a long time about football. Years ago when I was at the Racing Post and we started, football betting really took off. You'd get sometimes a bit of a discrepancy, you know, between frames on a match, even a high-profile game. You never see that now. Never see it. It might be a quarter of a point difference in a big game. Now, are we led to believe that all the odds compilers of all the different firms come out with these prices independently and they're all the same? Or is there some guy, some brain box somewhere in, I don't know, Brighton, coming out with a tissue price and everybody follows that? What's the anatomy of it?
There's no tissue price. There's no collusion or anything like that. It's a much stronger market now than it used to be. So it's, you know, you've still got an opinion being formed on a Saturday night after the matches have been framed, and that will be on the coupons. But it's just a committee meeting feel about it, I think. I don't think there's definitely no collusion.
No, well, Derek wants to know why he's losing every week. I think that's Derek's big question.
There's got to be some explanation. It can't be me. It's got to be you, lads. Come on, somehow.
Let's talk.
I've just been out and brought a new jacket.
Sponsored by Derek McGovern. It's got Derek's logo on that jacket. Let's talk about the Premier League markets. We'll talk Community Shield in a few moments as well. But outright market for the Premier League: Manchester City 7-4, Manchester United 100-30, Chelsea 7-2, Spurs are 10-1, Arsenal 12-1, Liverpool 12-1, 80-1, and bigger the rest. Andy, first of all, before we get your opinion, where's the cash been?
All the outsiders.
No surprise, is it now?
No, it's the Leicester factor. It's happened once, so it can happen again. So basically, our eight worst results are everybody 80-1 upwards. So it's all the promoted teams, Everton, those teams. The fancy teams, the only two we've laid for any money really are Liverpool and Arsenal, which is probably the each-way money. But certainly the three favs are pretty much untouched.
That's unbelievable, isn't it, Derek? You think Manchester City, Manchester United and Chelsea virtually untouched in the betting market. Derek, is why bookmakers are rich.
Well, people backing these 80-1 teams, too, right? You look and there's not a prayer is of any of those winning it. I can see that you'd be laying them all day long without altering the price at all. I think probably the reason you're not back getting any money for the top three, well, certainly Man United, is their price. I mentioned it before when we were on air with Martin Mipton. I can't understand how they're shorter in the betting than Chelsea when they're 20, something like 24, 25 points behind them last season. How do you explain that one, Andy?
It's a good question. It's just they're Man United. That's as simple as that. It's Man United and Mourinho. So we know that the punters will come for it, basically. Huge loyalty behind the brand, if you like.
Yeah. Who do you fancy then in the Premier League, Andy?
I think Man City are going to win the league by 6 or 7 points.
Yeah.
I think looking at their team last year, what they've done in the close season, obviously they always spend money, but I think they've spent it in the right places, particularly at fullback. You know,
people were saying for years, when are they going to strengthen defensively? And they went out and spent £150 million on a completely new back line and brought in a keeper as well. So he's brought in Bernardo Silva, who's going to work with David Silva. That could be an interesting partnership.
Silver lining.
Yeah, silver lining for City this season, perhaps. You think they're going to romp it then, win by 6 or 7?
Yeah, I see it being between them and Chelsea. I think they're the head and shoulders above, but I think City will still come home. It's overlooked a bit. Sorry.
It's in centre of the defence. I mean, it's still dodgy, isn't it? The centre of their defence is still... I mean, they've improved at fullback. They had to. And also, you mentioned they signed a new keeper. But do we trust Pep Guardiola's view on keepers, given the records he brought in last season?
There still has to be a question mark. That would be the concern. Obviously, you're always going to have the perennial question over company staying fit now. But it's a bit overlooked. They did have the fourth best defence in the Premier League last year.
Yeah.
Statistically, in terms of goals conceded. That's probably because they're spending the whole of the game in the other team's half. But
yeah.
That is overlooked sometimes.
Derek, you said that you like Liverpool to win the title. They're 12-1, and Andy said of the top teams, Liverpool and Arsenal are the ones that have attracted cash. what's going to be different for Liverpool this season? They've brought in Mohamed Salah, but they have European football to contend with as well. Does it? And if they're relying on Daniel Sturridge staying fit, Derek, they're in trouble.
Yeah, I know. Yes, right. I mean, when you were watching that Audi Trophy match the other night, did you see that clip when the camera switched to a bed on the sideline? I expected Daniel Sturridge to be reclining in it. I mean, yeah, it was pictured in America this summer. Did you see it partying with the Kardashians? He couldn't keep up with them. That's how unfit he is. No, I don't think they're relying on Daniel Sturridge at all. In fact, I'm actually surprised he's there. But he does give you something different whenever he's on the pitch. You know, he is capable.
Yeah.
I like Liverpool because I thought they went quite close last season. You know, the January killed them. But they were favourites at one stage, halfway through the season. And it was their strength and depth. They lacked that. Now, Klopp is trying to address that. He hasn't had too much luck so far, but I fully expect a couple more signings before the transfer window closes, including Dick Van Dijk. He'll be there as well. I'm pretty sure about that. So, you know, they're strengthening the defence. We've got another season under Klopp with them. I like the way they play. Their record against the top teams last season was unbelievable. They outclassed the top teams every time they played them. It was only when teams came to Anfield and struggled and parked the bus, Liverpool struggled to break them down. Now, you know, Klopp has been trying to address that with the signing of Salah, one or two others. I think we'll see a different Liverpool this season. And that record against the top teams, if you're not a title-winning material, you're not going to play Chelsea and Man United and Man City and wipe the floor with them. Liverpool did that on a number of occasions last season. What are these, 11, 12 to 1? They're the only possible bet you can have for the title.
12 to 1 Liverpool, City 7 to 4 favourites here with William Hill. Top 4 finish, obviously very short prices in this market with Manchester City 1 to 6, Manchester United 100 to 30 on, Chelsea 1 to 3, Spurs 4 to 5, Arsenal and Liverpool even money. And the top 6, head and shoulders as far as the betting is concerned, Andy, above the rest, 8 to 1 bar those. What is your prediction for the top 4? Will anyone outside the top 6 break in?
No. Everton have done some good work in the close season, but it's still a massive gap to close. If they were going to knock anybody out of the top 6, I'd say it'd be Tottenham. But that might be because I'm an Arsenal fan.
And Spurs have to play at Wembley this season, Andy, which will be a big factor.
That's a factor. Also, I think Champions League football, being in it or not in it, is a 6 to 9 point swing in a season for me. If you're in it, you're losing. You're going to be resting players either side of the fixtures. If you're not in it, you don't have to do that. You can play your strongest team pretty much every week.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be a negative factor for them as well.
Derek, well, top four. What's your prediction for top four?
Well, I would knock out Tottenham. I mean, they'll be about as comfortable at home as I am playing at Wembley, because we know their record there is diabolical. I mean, it's just you've probably taken at minimum a 10 points off Tottenham because of the White Hart Lane factor. We all know how good their home record was last season, 17 wins and 2 draws. Where do those points come from when they're playing at Wembley? You know, people see going to Wembley as a day out for them. They'll be made up. Opponents I'm talking about. I can't see Tottenham being in the top four. I can't see Arsenal finishing in the top four. I mean, I still don't believe how they're giving Arsene Wenger another contract. This is a man who's taken Arsenal to one Champions League final in 20-odd years. Rafa Benitez took Liverpool to 2 in 5 years. Actually, while we're on that subject, I'll just quickly go off topic a second.
Yeah.
Over the last 12 seasons, Arsenal have outperformed Liverpool to a massive degree, wouldn't you? You know, in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you say that? Yeah. Well, how many times have Arsenal finished above Liverpool in those 12 seasons, would you estimate?
Oh, I'd go 8 or 9.
Yeah, everybody says that. Some even go 10-2. Well, it's 7-5 for Arsenal. I mean, you know, that's one little different season for Liverpool. One improved season for Liverpool would be 6-all. And yet, Wenger still gets all the acclaim. Liverpool have been through about a million managers in that time. And the man is a clown. I cannot believe he's still at Arsenal, by the way. But I'm sure Andy will have views on that, being an Arsenal fan.
This is what Derek does, by the way. He eviscerates anyone that comes into the studio, and you've got an opinion. If you've got an opinion on combative midfielders, Derek will destroy you on that point as well. But he's come in here, Andy, new to the podcast, Derek, and you've just ripped his football team to shreds.
He's not saying anything I haven't heard before.
What's your view on Wenger going on? I'm interested to see how you defend him.
Well, defend him is over the course of his whole period. In the first part of his period with the club, he changed the club completely. And he's put them on a footing that will put them there for 100 years. So he deserves the credit for that. Latterly, he hasn't brought the success. And what I think his biggest problem now is it's been so long since he's had any serious success. The players that are coming through now don't know him as a winning manager.
Yeah. So do you think they should have made a change?
Probably, yes.
Yeah. So yes. You were if you ever attend a football match, you have the banner out, do you? The Wenger out banner?
No.
No, you don't hold that.
You fly the aeroplane.
Yeah.
You'll never see me with one of them. I think all the people that are holding those banners up weren't have been there 20 years ago and 30 years ago.
Yeah, but I know that he did great when he first came. That's brilliant. What he did for Arsenal was unbelievable. Changed football, blah, 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 blah. But it's like saying Brigitte Bardot is still a cracker. She was, but she isn't now. You know, time moves on. And, you know, he's been left behind, Wenger. Well, I'll just quickly go back to my top four. It's the top four in order. I won't just give you the top four. This is what I finished. We finished Liverpool first, Man City second, Chelsea third, and I'll have to give Man United fourth.
Begrudgingly giving Manchester United fourth place, Liverpool fan Derek McGovern.
Yeah, the accent gives that one away, doesn't it?
Andy, give us your top four prediction.
Chelsea, City, United, Liverpool.
But City to win?
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to give the full prediction here because when it comes round to a new season, I always manage to dig out an old podcast where Derek's gone for a prediction and got it calamitously wrong. So you've got to give us your first four in order.
Well, it's City to win, Chelsea, United, Liverpool.
In that order.
Yeah, Liverpool will just hold Arsenal off because they're not that good.
Let's talk about relegation. Interesting market, this one. We had Martin Lipton on from The Sun earlier, and his prediction was for all three newly promoted teams to stay up, Brighton, Newcastle and Huddersfield. I promise you a price, listeners. This is now available, hashtag your odds, in the Premier League section on the William Hill website. It's 3-1 for those three teams to all stay up, Brighton, Newcastle and Huddersfield, in the Premier League next season. I can't see it. Huddersfield 8-13 to go down, Brighton 5-4, Burnley 5-4, Watford 15-8, Swansea 2-1, Newcastle 4-1, 5-1 bar. Has there been any major moves in the market here, Andy? Who do you anticipate struggling this season?
No real market interest in that. But
no.
Just while I'm on it, 3-1. It's about the same price as Derek to get a date with Brigitte Bardot.
I'd want much bigger.
Funny you should say that. I
think Derek mentioned earlier, what year was it when the last time three newly promoted teams all stayed in the Premier League?
Yeah, 2011-2012 season. And generally only one goes down. Two went down last season, of course, Hull and Middlesbrough. But most times it's only one of the three goes down. So you're not far off copping every season, really.
I'll throw my hat into the ring here. I think Burnley are certainties to be relegated this season. Got 33 points at home last season. Scraped survival. That won't happen again this season. And they've lost their best player. I'm going Burnley to go down at 5-4 has been a cracking bet.
Yeah. They were evens last season, Burnley, and they were well fancied, and it was that home form that got them there. But some of those home forms were narrow margins. And you know, the best player, Keane, has gone. He held up their defence, and that was their main plank of their form last season, the defence. Teams who probably worked out going to Turf Moor what they have to do. Maybe they didn't have that last season. Yeah, I think Burnley will go. They're a bigger price than they were last season and more likely in my eyes to go down.
Who do you think will go down then, Derek? Your three for relegation.
I think Huddersfield will. I like some of the football they played last season, but I don't think they've got enough strength to last in the Premier. They haven't made any decent signing that makes me think that they're going to be a force. Burnley, I think. Now, I was going to go for Watford because anyone who relies on for goals on Troy Deeney is in big trouble. But their manager puts me off. You know what he did at Hull. I've just got, maybe he might be a bit of a miracle worker in the making. So it puts me off a little bit. I'm going to go for West Brom. You know, therefore, I know they finished like something like 10th last season, didn't they? So it's a long way. But they only finished on 45 points. You know, and the team who finished 17th, Watford finished on 40. Not a great toll. They've lost a couple of important players. They haven't signed anybody decent, really. Jay Rodriguez, not sure about that one.
He's good, but he's injured.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. I think West Brom might go down.
Okay, West Brom 5-1 to be relegated. Huddersfield 8-13 with Burnley at 5-4. Interestingly enough, Tony Pulis has never been relegated in his managerial career, which spans the best part of 2.5 decades. So it'll be interesting to see if he can keep West Brom in the Premier League next season. Andy, your thoughts on the relegation market?
I think Huddersfield, if they stay up, the manager wins manager of the year.
Yeah.
Basically, it's unbelievable they've got in the Premier League with what they've got now. I do have a colleague who's a long-standing Huddersfield fan, and he's actually in charge of your odds, so I better be careful what I say here. So, but he knows they're going to have one season, I think, and they're going to enjoy it. But if they stayed up, manager deserves huge credit. I think Brighton will go with them. Can't see them surviving, to be honest. Outside of that, I shared Derek's comments about the Watford manager. He's the only thing that can save them.
Yeah.
But if I was looking at another team, Swansea.
I think 2-1.
Yeah. If they lose Sigurdsson...
Which looks likely, doesn't it? Recording this on Friday, it looks likely he's going to make that switch to Everton.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a difficult one for them because they're probably right to take the money as long as they've got somebody in mind to sign in his stead.
Mm.
But if they can't replace him, then I think they're in big trouble.
Huddersfield, Brighton and Swansea for Andy. We're going to come on to the Community Shield in a few moments' time. Just quickly, I bet, Derek, that you like away from the markets we've spoken about. Is there anything, other business, anything that interests you?
Yeah, Newcastle to finish in the top half, 3-1. You don't have to be any good to finish in the top half. And Newcastle have got a genius of a manager. That's a big feather in their cap. Top half, West Brom. Well, I think West Brom, Bournemouth finishing at 9th on 46 points. I mean, that ain't great, is it? 46 points gets his 9th. There's a load of crap in the Premier League. And Newcastle, they're not going to be pulling up trees. They're not going to be going for Europe or anything like that. But they're good enough to hold their own against some of the teams, most of the teams in the Premier League. And at 3-1, because of the manager, he's a genius, Rafa Benitez. I think that's a great bet.
3-1 Newcastle top half, Andy?
For me, it'd be in Player of the Year. And if you fancy City, then I'd be looking at the likes of De Bruyne and Silva, the creators.
Yeah.
They're both available at sort of 16 and 33, respectively. So I'd be looking in that area.
Player of the Year markets on the William Hill website. And the two that you like, again?
Kevin De Bruyne and David Silva
In the Player of the Year markets. We're going to come on to the Community Shield in a few moments' time, chaps. But first of all, we'll take a few moments out and hear the best European bet this week in the company of Sam Norris.
French League football returns to the calendar this weekend, and the first European tip of the season comes from Ligue 1, and it centres around Lyon, who take on newly promoted Strasbourg on Saturday night. Lyon might struggle to hit the heights that they did last season with Alexandre Lacazette moving on to Arsenal. They've brought in a couple of replacements who could potentially plug the gap. Bertrand Traore comes in from Chelsea and Mariano Diaz has been brought in from Real Madrid. So I think they'll probably be okay in terms of scoring, but whether or not they'll scale the heights that they did last year remains to be seen. And they take on a Strasbourg outfit who were probably the pick of the three promoted sides from Ligue 2 last season. It was a crazy end to the French second tier at the back end of last season, but Strasbourg probably represent the team with the most strongest chance of staying in Ligue 1 this season. And I think they'll get a goal here against Lyon. Lyon are priced up very short in the betting. It's 2-5 for Lyon and 13-2 for Strasbourg. That looks a massive price on the away side. Whether or not they'll win the game is open to question, but I think they can definitely register a goal here. They're unbeaten in all their pre-season friendlies, so arrive into this in good form, having had a cracking campaign last season as well. And the bet for me is going to be the match result and both teams to score. Lyon to win the match with both teams to score is 15-8. It's 4-5 that both teams register, but I'll take a little bit of extra value and go for Lyon to win the match and both teams to get on the score sheet at 15-8 this week.
Community Shield then. Arsenal versus Chelsea on Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m. Kickoff. Arsenal 9-4 to win it. The draw 12-5. Chelsea in the betting at 6-5. And Andy, as you've just said off air, you're going to try and remain impartial here and be objective.
Yeah. So I'll just point out that Arsenal have won their last 7 games at Wembley.
They have got that exceptional record, haven't they, there? This will actually be Arsene Wenger's 20th game in charge of Arsenal at Wembley. And he's won 12 of them, drawn 2 and lost 5. And away from Highbury or the Emirates, he's won more games at this ground than any other in his 21 years at Arsenal. So clearly got, Andy, an affinity with Wembley. And this is a sort of game that you could see Arsenal winning as well, I think.
You could, but I'm speaking with my heart, if I'm honest. Chelsea have got the better team, and they should win. But the only thing, I think the reason behind the Wembley record is the size of the pitch, and it suits Arsenal's passing game. They just tire other teams out. So if they have more possession, which you'd expect them to have, even against Chelsea, they could win. But I still fancy Chelsea, to be honest.
Do you like that signing of Alexandre Lacazette? Do you think that's going to work out in the long term?
I do, but it's the long term is the words there. I don't think it's going to be immediate. I think it'll be more of a long-term thing.
Yeah, and I suppose the thing with Arsenal coming into the season is the will he leave, won't he leave saga with Alexis Sanchez, which could prove to be disruptive in the first few weeks of the season. And in the end, he might end up staying this season and going on a free. That's a possibility with Sanchez, isn't it, in the future?
It is. I think you might... what happens up till Christmas will be crucial, because then they might change their mind. If things are going really, really well, the players may think this is worth staying. If it's not a repeat of the last few years, then they'll be looking to get out, and the club might say, we'll have the money, thank you very much.
Who do you envisage laying then as a compiler? Do you think Chelsea will be popular with the punters? I know we're recording this about 48 hours before game time.
Yeah, I think we'll see Chelsea.
Yeah.
Because I think they won the league last year. They were the most consistent team. On paper, they're the better team across the board. So you'd expect to lay them.
Yeah, and they've got Superman Derek in N'Golo Kanté, who is the only player to have lifted the Premier League title in two successive seasons.
Or
the last two successive seasons. He is a holding midfielder, Derek.
There's a lot to be said for them.
He's one of the best ones, though, Derek.
Well, yeah, if you're going to have a holding midfielder, have him. But I wouldn't have one. So there you go. I mean, the Arsenal and Chelsea teams have played each other more often recently than Celtic and Rangers. The FA Cup final? Didn't he play each other recently in a friendly? Chelsea murdered Arsenal that day.
Yep.
This is the fourth meeting between these sides at the new Wembley as well, Derek.
Is that right?
Arsenal have won two of the previous three.
Well, FA Cup winners have won the last three Community Shields, so read into that what you like. Two of those winners were Arsenal, of course. Got a great record at Wembley, as you say. They played in eight of the last 19 Community Shields, or Charity Shields as it was then, and won six. All of those six wins were at Wembley. Their only two defeats came at the Millennium Stadium. So, yeah, you know, it's almost like a home match for Arsenal. And let's not forget, when they played in the FA Cup final, I couldn't see defeat for Chelsea. I just couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, Arsenal won that one. And you've got a good record in this. They seem to be up for this competition, if you can call it a competition, more than whatever opponents they meet. Something inside me as a punter thinks, I can't be backing favourites in it, you know, sure price favourites. 6-5 Chelsea in a glorified friendly. I can't do that. Especially with Arsenal's record at Wembley and in this trophy. I've got to go for Arsenal. I, there's no science behind that other than the fact that they might want it more than Chelsea.
This is what he does. He speaks disparagingly about a football club and then backs them 9-4 for Arsenal to win the Community Shield on Sunday. It is the draw 12-5 Chelsea in the betting at 6-5. Do you envisage, Derek, it being high scoring or being tight? What do you think is going? How's it going to play out?
I think it'll be a tight game. The last two Community Shields or Charity Shields, whatever it was, between these two being fairly tight. I can't see it being a hell of a leather game. So what worries me about Chelsea is something I mentioned when Martin Lipton was on the air about the absence of Eden Hazard. I mean, he's the stardust man for them, and I had my doubts about Chelsea last season. I didn't think Costa was good enough, even though everybody in the whole land thinks he's brilliant. I thought he was useless. And yet they won the league in the canter.
Finally found something we agree on.
Oh, you're
rubbish.
Like, wow. That's two of you then.
Incredible. That's two. The only two people in the land who think Costa's crap, and we're both on this podcast. Isn't that incredible? You've searched high and low for someone to support me, haven't you, Dave? You have finally found it. Chelsea worry me without Hazard. I just don't. And you know, this talk now as well. I've been reading the papers this week, hearing things about him. Barcelona might be using some of the Neymar money on him. If he goes, I think they'll struggle, especially with the Champions League to contend with this season.
It will be interesting to see where they are when he returns. Expected back about mid-September Eden Hazard, and they are a different... We saw that under Mourinho when Mourinho and Hazard fell out, Andy. That spelled the end for their season, basically.
Well, he's got a consistency question to answer because he does it one season, then not the next. So to reach that pinnacle at the top level, he's got to keep doing it. And you'd worry about that. I'll share Derek's concerns again. I must be due back in the clinic.
Oh, yeah. This can't continue all through the season because no one ever shares his sentiments on anything, really. What's the prediction for the Community Shield then? Scoreline?
Chelsea 2-1,
8-1 here with William Hill. Derek?
I've got an Arsenal 1-0 win.
Arsenal 1-0, available at 10-1 here with William Hill.
No overs, keeping a clean sheet. What's he on about?
Andy, thank you for your company. Look forward to your views each and every week on the podcast as we gear up for the new Premier League season. Thank you, Andy.
Pleasure.
Derek, it's always entertaining, a fun chat with you. Thank you, sir.
Pleasure. Speak to you next week.
Thank you to Derek and to Andy and to Martin earlier. We're going to hear from Pete Farris next. He's going to give us his thoughts in a few moments' time on the Championship this weekend.
So the start of a brand new Championship season, and my nap's going to be Brentford, draw no bet at 6-4. Sheffield United are a very good side, were superb at Bramall Lane and the whole last season, but the truth is they started last season very poorly, and for me, Brentford could well be one of the dark horses of this season's Championship. They've kept hold of many of their very best players, they've added Ollie Watkins, and they generally, for me, look like they're poised for a very good run. So 6-4, draw no bet for Brentford looks really good. They're a side who didn't travel brilliantly last season, but weren't awful either. They've got a good manager, settled into the role now after well over 12 months in charge, and he's a man that I think can push clubs to much higher lengths and higher heights than they would normally be at. For Sheffield United, I'm expecting a very solid season, nothing to panic, nothing to worry about, but as good as they are at Bramall Lane, I think they're opposable on the first game of the season. So for me, my nap of the week in the Championship is Brentford draw no bet at 6-4.
This is In Play Radio from William Hill. William Hill leads the betting industry in sports podcasts, with top names previewing thousands of matches, games, races, frames, legs and innings every year. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store. In Play Radio.
That was the Championship from William Hill. Pete Farris. Let's talk League One now with Gav Pushlowski.
So it is back after months of waiting. League One is upon you. And here is my nap selection for the first weekend. And I'm going to stick with Blackburn Rovers. It's a tough challenge. It's an away trip to Southend United. That is a proper welcome to League One fixture. Southend will be there or thereabouts in the playoffs come the end of the season. But they're on a high, Blackburn Rovers, because they will believe they've got the better team, the better squad. And at the moment, they'll believe they're a Championship club in League One, desperate to get straight back out. They've made some good signings in Bradley Dack, Ben Gladwin, Richard Smallwood, Peter Whittingham is a great signing, Paul Caddis with experience at the back. Add that with the likes of Danny Graham up front as well. I think they're going to have just a little bit too much for Southend. They could have too much for League One. I'm backing them to go up as champions, and they are my nap selection for Weekend One in League One, and that is Blackburn Rovers, 8-5 to win at Southend United.
Just before we move on to our final piece here on the podcast, a League Two coming up with Al Ross. Just a reminder, there will be a naps table throughout the course of the season on the Punt podcast. Derek is licking his wounds after last season, but right now, let's hear from Al Ross on League Two.
Everyone appears to be looking towards big spending Mansfield in League 2 this season. I'm not, and even if you are, don't back on them this early in the season. Too many changes, you have to give them time to blend at least. I'd much rather back a team that already has cohesion, that already was good, and has just added where it needed, and that is Luton. Alongside Danny Hilton up front this season will be James Collins, who netted 20 goals for a poor Crawley side last year. Hilton's out injured for now, but Collins has been firing in pre-season and is good value as the 9-1 joint favourite for the League 2 Golden Boot. A home tie against Yeovil, who've lost 10 players and brought 9 in, who look very different and frankly not as good. It's a fairly easy first pick on Luton at 8-13. For those who want a big prize using the same ideas, Notts County 21-10, too big at Coventry. I could easily make a nap case for the likes of Stevenage 10-11 at home to Newport, and on Crewe, a very good side at 2-1, who start at home to the aforementioned Mansfield. But I'm starting by banking on the shorty in Luton Town, and I'm backing them to lay down a title statement from the off with that excellent looking attack. 11-4 on the race to 3 goals, 3-1 to win both halves. My favourite single bet on the match is 13-8 Luton to score both halves, but for those on the outrights looking for an acca, there is nothing wrong with the simple 8-13 on Luton.
What have Man City, Joe Root, Rory McIlroy, Andy Murray, and Q-Card all got in common? They can all be combined with William Hill's new Acca Insurance, Acca 5. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet, and it's available across all sports. Acca 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Punt Podcast this week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you to The Sun's Martin Lipton, David McGovern, superb as usual, Andy Excel, the head of the football product here with William Hill, making his debut on the podcast. So thanks to Andy, and of course, thanks to Pete, Al and Gav and Sam Norris for their previews of the weekend's action as well. If you want to check out all the William Hill odds, go to williamhill.com. Follow us on Twitter at William Hill. Make sure you subscribe to get the podcast weekly by going to iTunes, and this podcast available at audioboom.com. I've enjoyed it immensely. I hope you have too. Make sure you're back with us for more action next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.